Ok. Ok.
Ah, c'est juste parce qu'il en a une autre derrière.
So, Joshua, I'm a
Yes.
big fan of your work.
Thank you.
I've been meeting you 2 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
Really?
Yes, I do, I do.
So you don't publish often, whatever. But whatever you write is top. What are the comics that compelled you to write? What are your influences?
Oh, that's really interesting. I was very influenced. I grew up in South Texas,
Yes.
which was a little bit culturally isolated. But at that time, we would get, it was the early days of the comic book store in the United States, the very first retailers. And so we were getting a lot of comics from Britain. So 2000 AD,
Yeah.
particularly Judge Dredd, these things were very influential to me. And
Okay.
then eventually, you know, it was the independent boom of the mid and late 80s, 1980s. So Cerebus,
Yes.
you know, Love and Rockets, these things
Yes.
were deeply influential, more so than honestly superhero comics. I know a lot of my friends are influenced a lot by Marvel and DC, but it was really, for me, it was the independent movement that I really glommed onto. And then later on in America, there came First Comics and Piranha Press, and these were all, you know, so like books like Badger, and
Yes.
these were books that all spoke to me deeply. And of course, I'm ultimately a child of Watchmen and Dark
Yes.
Knight and Ronin by Frank Miller, and these were my big influences in comics. I was also influenced by cinema and music, obviously,
Yes.
and novels.
And when I was introduced to you, your Abinger, I didn't know Valiant Publishing, but I feel like that we are the best version of the New Age X-Men. Were you aware of that?
I'm almost hesitant to say this, but I'm very often my run is compared to the Chris Claremont X-Men
Yes.
run, and I've never read that.
Yeah, that's you told me that.
Yes, yeah. So I've kind of stopped telling people that because I'm so favorably compared to that run.
Yes.
So, but the truth is I never really read it. So
It's amazing. Yes.
I guess Chris and I think probably I read a lot of things that were influenced by Chris Claremont's run.
Yes.
I think that might have been the case. And also, I guess we just had a very similar take on these
Okay.
stories. Yeah.
And if we take your personage, your characters, Peter Soncik in Avenger, Moses in Unknown Soldier, Layla on UN3, would you agree that your characters find themselves involved more or less voluntarily in conflicts?
Yes, absolutely. I think the most common theme that propels my characters is that they really just want to be, but then they become faced by
Yes.
overwhelming
Yeah.
struggle and conflict,
Yeah.
and then they do the best that they can do to be a good person. I think they do rise up. You know, the characters that are positive characters, I think they do
Yes.
try to rise to their occasions. Very often they don't. They
Yeah.
do it poorly
Yeah.
because what is the right thing to do is so complicated. And so
Yes.
that's something that I think I unintentionally explore
I
a
think
lot.
that is the key of your work.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it definitely, now that we're talking about it, you know, it's not intentional, but
Yeah.
I definitely see, you know, in my own life, I have struggled to be a good person and
Yes.
sometimes failed. And so I think that's in my characters as well.
And after Abinger and Imperium Triumph, instead of capitalizing your success and signing for a stupid crossover with Marvel, you went on a humanitarian mission to Iraq and Sudan. Why?
Yes.
Why did you?
Because I want to I want to be a citizen of the world.
Yes.
I want to be part of a larger conversation about what it means to be human. And I'm not entirely sure that a Marvel crossover
Yeah.
it can allow me to have this larger conversation about what it means to be a human being right now in this moment. And I also have a strong feeling about those of us who live in these larger economies, and how fortunate we are to have been born into
Yes,
these places.
that's Leila is saying.
Yes, exactly. Layla is probably the closest reflection of my thoughts on
Yes.
feelings on this. And I just think that we have a responsibility. I didn't earn my three meals a day. I didn't earn being born into an economy where where I'm safe, and that's where it's stable. And so I feel like I have a responsibility to participate in a larger conversation about discrepancies in these, in these
that's,
lives.
That's why my next question.
Nice.
UN 3 begins with, and you're Muslim. Mm. Your woman will realize the futility of Western life.
Yes, yes.
And the absurdity of seeking to eat organic food when millions of human beings leave their homes, their honor, and sometimes leave to save a child from certain death. Mm-hmm. Are Layla's torments yours?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. More than any other character, Layla's... Layla is me. Yeah,
Layla is you. And how... How were you welcomed in these countries as a white Texan American?
Part of the guilt is I was welcomed surprisingly well, but I think it's because when you show up to listen to the stories of people who are essentially unheard, who don't feel like they're part of the larger human conversation,
yes,
they're very open to telling you their narratives. So I've been fortunate, and I have some guilt about this, but I move relatively freely in these areas because people are hungry to tell their stories. And so when I make myself available to them and I show the appropriate amount of humility in the face of their culture, I think they open up quite a bit. But there's a downside to all of that. I mean, yes. This is white Western privilege that I'm using and maybe even exploiting. So I have to be very conscious of that and careful of that.
You know, my wife is from South America.
Mm-hmm.
We met here. And whatever I tried to be local with people, the people never forget.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
Just, you cannot be as authentic as you wish to.
Because yes.
The people record them that you are white. You
yes, know, exactly. Just, yes.
Middle class. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And you come from like an entirely different cultural experience.
Yes.
And I think that you have to keep that in mind. And in these situations, you know, it's a little bit different because I come with the mission of carrying their stories back. And I think that gives me a little bit of a safety. And you know.
Yes.
But you know, when I was in northern Uganda in 2007,
I
walked right into there is a place called the Gulu School for War Affected Youth.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still there, but at that time, and it was filled with children who had been impacted by the conflict. Most of them child combatants, but a few of them had, and they were in a caged camp. And they were guarded by men with guns. And as a Westerner, as a white man, I walked right through security.
Yes.
No one asked me a question.
Yes. And like Layla with a car. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And that's also a real experience I had, is being in these UN convoys. They just blow through borders.
Yes.
And I can't help but be aware that there's like we have a really strange power here.
Yes.
That can very easily be abused.
Did your life was endangered, like Jonathan Zuman?
Well, Dumont Jonathan is the real deal. You know,
yeah.
I'm just sort of there because I know how to make comic books and
yes.
we want to do that. But Jonathan is a every day he's
yes.
I don't think so. No. I mean, I guess there's always a chance that something can go wrong.
Mm.
We're unarmed. We are, particularly when we were in Iraq, we were moving very, very close to Daesh territory.
Really?
Yeah. And in South Sudan, the government was essentially turning to vapor all around us.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that I'm in danger. Now, people like Jonathan, and particularly these World Food Program drivers who drive into Syria, these people are authentic, genuine heroes who drive right into danger, unarmed, relatively unarmored. And I think they're extraordinary people.
I'm a social worker.
Mm.
I've been
awesome.
Working with prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
women beaten, and children.
Yes.
So I recognize myself in your interrogation about helping others.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
The difference is I have a formation.
Yes.
And
yes.
A lot of people are benevolent.
Uh-huh.
You know, they just don't know how to deal. You know?
Yes.
The help that Layla provides is significant and useless at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah? With the pacifism of Layla, of the violence of a unknown soldier,
mm-hmm.
it seems like nothing really changed.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the core of your work.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yes, there is. But you know, I think at the philosophy of the work and the also my philosophy is that even if the fight is lost,
yes,
it's worth it. Like, yes. Even if this is, what if this is just the way of things? The universe just works this way. Some suffer, some don't. That doesn't mean you don't press, you don't fight. You know, I believe in a fight lost is still a fight. Is still an important
but
fight.
The core of your work is sometimes to do good. You're doing the bad one.
Occasionally, yes.
With Toyo Harada,
yes, you know, yes.
His intention is good.
Yes,
he tried
yes.
to kill capitalism, is washing the poor's feet, but he's committing atrocities.
Yes, so. Exactly. Yes. Well, you know, Harada is all about an internal struggle I have.
With, ready?
Yeah. Yeah. About you know, once I started really traveling a lot in. The Arab world and parts of Africa, I began, and also with recent developments over the last few years in democratic nations, seeing them tilt towards a kind of fascism, I've begun to really have hard questions about democracy.
Yes.
And what representation means, and if and I've been, you know, we grew up in the Western post-colonial narrative, and also in the kind of liberty narrative or the democracy narrative. And so that's how we were indoctrinated. But once I started becoming close with people who saw and were able to voice real authentic flaws in democracy, I began to question a lot of stuff. And Harada comes out of that. Like, what is democracy? And yes. Will it save us? Will it? Yes. I don't know. So that's where Harada comes from.
Do you think that Leila is the listener, she's patiently taking the victims of Daesh, and she's listening to them. Mm-hmm. Is the listener is some kind of modern shaman
mm-hmm.
who is taking the other's suffering for herself.
Oh. You know,
she can do anything but this.
I love this. This is a really interesting take.
Thanks.
yes, I do. I do. I think that it's so important, you know, the humility of the listener,
yes.
that I will take your weight. And I will, you know, and there's a, it is healing to listen. And
that's I'm doing, that's I think I'm doing.
Yes, yeah.
With my work.
Yeah, know, just, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I, in that, you know, like so much of Leila, the observations I make on her character could not have occurred until I was there, mm-hmm. sitting across from a family who are telling me their lowest moment of their lives. And it's something I will never have to experience.
Like, yes.
And then you're, and now you have the weight of that. Now you have that
yes.
story, and you're holding it, and you're, and you know, and as imperfectly as you try to communicate it. So I think Leila is very much me in that regard. But also, there's a folklore about Buddhist nuns who
yes.
who live in a cemetery.
Yeah.
And they live in this cemetery because if the ghosts come back to possess people, they'll possess the nuns first. So they're giving themselves to protect. Others that you know, and I mm-hmm. and I think that's part of the listener's job is to take, like, I will help you carry your ghost, and yeah. it's not even comparable to your experience, but just a human being sitting across from you and listening is incredibly valuable.
Synchronicity, you know.
No, maybe I unconsciously saw that. Yeah, but yeah, listening is a kind of healing. Yeah, and, yeah. We should listen to each other more often.
Habinger cast a young Edward Snowden. With if you had to write it again, would you put in your team Greta Thunberg?
Wait, okay, ask that question again. I am trying.
If you had to write Habinger again,
yes.
would you put in the team a young Greta Thunberg?
Oh. I hadn't thought of it, but it sounds great. It's a
yes.
great idea. Yeah, we'll co-write it. I think that would be
because
awesome.
Because you put Arabas.
Yes.
You put Arabas.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Young Edward Snowden. So
yes.
You are very committing, so...
Yes, exactly. Mm. And I think that, you know, look, the way that I write, particularly when we're dealing with the real world politics stuff, is that what's happening in that moment, I want to be as on top of that as possible. And that's very much where
yes.
Axe comes from. And
yeah.
And so, yeah, sure, it'd be great. It's a great idea. Thanks for bringing it up. Maybe I'll steal it.
Deportation, children, soldiers, famine, death camp. Do you realize that your books can be awful to read after how they work, you know?
Yes, and I think the readership realizes that as well.
Sorry, I've been waiting 1 year to
oh,
read it.
Oh yes,
because after my work, you know, just.
Yes, I know. Well, you know, look, my sales figures show that that's the case.
Yes.
I do, but nobody else is using our medium. I mean, not nobody else, but few people are using our medium to do this, and so I don't. So then it feels like a responsibility.
Do you feel like a joint base of comics? You know, Bob Dylan,
oh man,
Sting, Bob Geldof.
You know, no, those people are all geniuses. I don't feel like that. No. I'm some. I'm just some flailing child trying to do his best to understand things.
These people done great things, but sometimes the people that they say that they are taking the music in hostages,
yes,
of the actuality.
Oh, I love this. I mean, I find it very difficult to be compared to, you know,
yes,
Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. Those people, they also have real impact on their culture, you know.
Yes.
And I don't think I've managed to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to impact the culture, but yeah. Unless the culture wants it.
But for your readers, you are some kind of exception, you know.
Mm.
Yes, you have Jeff Lemire,
mm-hmm,
but you're not so productive, you know, just,
mm-hmm,
it seems like,
yes,
every word is thinked, you,
yes,
know, it's just, what I like about your work is just, you are something like a synthesis of the world,
mm-hmm,
you know, just, you don't have disconnected from,
yeah,
from the world.
Yeah, I'm not really an escapist.
Yes.
I really like, but I think because I like real people.
Yeah.
I like, and when I go to make some, you know, comic books are a very inauthentic medium where it's not even cinema, at least you have real people on the screen. And novels, you can get into the thoughts, but comics is sort of I love comics, but they're drawings of,
yeah,
people. They're drawings of life. Mm. They're representational. And so I do my best to create authenticity in this sort of representational medium because I like authenticity. I,
yes,
like realness. I don't like, yeah, I'm not here to see, I don't want Superman to save us. I want us to save,
yes,
us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Sooner or later, Avenger will be adapted on the screen.
No, we'll see. We'll see.
Do you fear or wait this moment?
I could really use the paycheck.
Yes.
I don't mean, you know, as anti-capitalist as I seem, it is the system in which we function.
Yes.
And I could use it. You know, I'm almost 50. I could use some financial security.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, as long as Harbinger gets Faith right.
Yes.
As long as they put on the screen someone who looks like Faith, an actress who looks like Faith, and who can save the world,
yeah,
then I will feel incredibly proud about my participation.
Do you think that it will begin with the rape of with Peter Sanchez?
I don't know, and I don't even think it should. You know, I mean, I still to this day question even my the choices I made in that moment, because to me, it feels very real.
Yes.
You know, a person with that much power, but with that little love.
Yes.
Can be extremely dangerous.
Yes.
Was Harbinger the right place to express that?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Mark Miller has done much more, much worse.
Yes. And sometimes, and no offense to Mark, but sometimes without the ethical construct around it.
Yes.
Sometimes he's just being, no offense, Mark, but just completely unethical.
Yeah,
like, you know.
It's okay.
So
mm-hmm.
I have really struggled to make sure that event, Peter's both emotional and physical rape of it's about something. It's about power. It's about masculinity. Mm-hmm. It's about how dangerous people can be when they feel unloved, and right now, you know, when we first made that choice to do that in that comic, suddenly now we're having a different conversation than we were then culturally.
Yes.
Around that. Like, you know, look at the Joker movie, which I have not seen, but is also supposedly about these things, as far as I can tell. And there's sort of an outrage about it. And so, I don't think I don't know. You know, that's up to other people. I made my creative choice a long time, you know, in 2011, and people can. I know that it turned off a lot of readers, and it was in our first issue, and this is the story of my life. But I.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
So you don't want to write for DC Marvel? Or,
I mean,
X-Men needs you. You know.
Look, you know, the truth of the matter is if Marvel comes to you and they say, you know, we would like to put you on X-Men, which I don't foresee happening for all kinds of reasons we won't go into here. But if that did happen, you really can't say no.
Yes.
You got to take a swing at it because it's the big beast. And also it would help me if I could drive readers, you know, if there's a responsibility, if I can drive readers to UN3 or an English Living Level 3, or if I can drive readers to the work that, you know, Goodnight Paradise, which is something I recently published about homelessness in Los Angeles. If I can get 10 readers to pick up UN3 because I did an X-Men run, then I'd have to do that.
The superheroes movies are monopolizing the cinema industry.
Yes.
Do you think like Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, a civilization will amuse you itself to death? No.
This is a great question. I love your questions. This is why I remember you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I can do.
You have 10 minutes.
I prefer
to precise that you have 10 minutes. I know you would.
I'll say this. This is
the kind of question that can answer in
I'm coming back tomorrow. You know.
Yes, exactly. This is a great question. I think I still believe in us. I still believe in us. And I think that if we were going to amuse ourselves to death, we would have done it already. Yeah. The only thing that's new and that's impacting my optimism about the human species is this climate change issue.
Yes.
Because in the past, we always felt like we have all the time in the world to evolve and change and grow. And we can just, and it just takes time.
Yeah.
But suddenly now there seems to be this evolutionary bottleneck that we're approaching. And so if we don't pull our shit together, we're in trouble. And that's a new nihilism in me, a new fatalism. So normally I would answer your question with, no, we've always had crap amusement. Yeah. It's always been, there's been shit and then there's been great stuff. But now suddenly it's like, okay, we do need to pull ourselves up and we all need to work together and we need to start looking at ourselves as a family and all humanity. But the problem is that right now I'm seeing us being more fractured than we have in the recent past. Mm. You know, it's kind of a golden moment post-World War II where we were, there was obviously conflict always all around the world in the post-war moment. And of course the Cold War was happening. But at the same time, we were also entangling each other in trade agreements and peace treaties and cultural exchanges. And this created one of the longest periods of sustained peace in human history. Mm. And now these knots are becoming undone because of a kind of rising fascism that's coming from our hearts.
Yeah.
And so now for the first time ever, I see in this question a negative answer. When before I would have been like, we'll not amuse ourselves to death.
Isn't it ironic to talk about poverty at the Comic-Con, you know,
supermarket of the world. Of course. And this is just, and you know, this is all fueled by escapism and power fantasies. And
Yes.
No, of course. This is why, you know, I remain an anomaly. This is why I can not be successful, but always have work. just a touch different than the rest of the creators out there.
Okay, two more questions. And so. The Life and Death for Toyo Arada is out now.
Yes.
What can you say about it? Can you talk about it?
Sure, yeah, I can say anything you want about it. It's out now.
I didn't read it.
Oh, you haven't read it yet. Oh, okay, well, I think that without giving too much, I don't want to spoil it then for anyone who will read it, but, you know, it's my final story for Valiant.
Yeah.
It ends an 11-year journey through these characters' lives that start with Peter and that crew and end, you know, we start with the hero and we end with the villain, but we worked very hard to explore all the ironic aspects of hero and villain. And so in the end, it's the end of these characters' arcs, but it's also the my final with this, using these people, it's my final exploration of what it means to self-govern.
Yeah.
And what it, and like, what is the path the species has to take to become?
Can't wait to take.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't suck. Can I mention one thing?
Yes.
I don't know if you are familiar with Goodnight Paradise. It's only in English right now, so it might not be. But I'm very, very proud of it. It just came out, and it's a murder mystery in the homeless culture in Los Angeles. And I worked the last 17 years. I've worked with homeless populations in Los Angeles, so it all comes from that.
Yes.
So it's very similar to this, except for the first time, the displaced humanity and in the way that people are not valued in a capitalist system is now, the lens of that is turned onto the first world G7 economy in one of the biggest cities in the world, Los Angeles.
Yes.
So I'm very proud of it.
Do you think, like Joe Kubert, Facts from Sarajevo?
Yes.
Would you like to? Do you think that the comics can save one's life?
Certainly comics can save one's life. Can comics save the world?
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough cultural pull right now. The only time our medium seems culturally relevant to large swaths of the population is when we're engaging in these like superhero myths. And superhero myths can be really great and strong, but I also find them a little bit dangerous.
Yes.
Because it's not Facts from Sarajevo that's being made into a $200 million movie.
Yeah.
It's these sort of these power fantasies. So you get, so to me, it isn't as interesting when Superman throws himself into the gears of the great machinery of the world, because Superman will break the machine. It's interesting when a human being throws themselves into the gears of the machine and they will, because they destroy themselves. That's heroism. And so I do think Facts from Sarajevo can save one life or two lives, and maybe that's how it's done. But right now it feels like we need to be doing, we need bigger movements.
Yes.
If
I became a social worker,
mm-hmm.
I think that it was part of the past of my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He was a resistant.
Mm-hmm. Of
World War II. He had been hiding Jewish in his...
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing.
Jews.
Yes.
But part of the X-Men, Daredevil and Spider-Man, urban superheroes, I think that I've been sensitive of these people helping the weak.
Yes.
And some kind of malediction.
Mm-hmm.
When you're helping people, you're lost. You're losing a kind of your soul.
Yes, you do. You're sacrificing a piece of yourself.
Yes.
And that's okay. Sacrifice is a foundational aspect of human society. We must sacrifice. Mm. If we do not sacrifice, then we have a lot of problems. Mm. And I do see the value in superheroes for that. I just think that it's easy for Spider-Man to help the weak because he is strong.
Yes.
It's more difficult for the weak to help the weak. Mm. And so I don't mean to take the power away from superheroes, but I also want to see narratives where people who don't have superhuman powers. And this is kind of part of the interesting complexity of a superhero narrative, right? Because Spider-Man must ultimately protect the weak from an exaggerated threat so that he himself is also threatened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But our threats are existential. And it will take human beings being imaginative and working together. Our threats are not an alien invasion. Our threats are that that fascistic governments are.
And that's it.
That's it. Awesome. Thank you, sir. I love it. It's good to see you again.
Yeah. I will be here all day and tomorrow. So.
Oh, cool.
And maybe tonight, I don't know.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Well, there's like, are you going to come to the Bliss? There's a party,
I think,
right?
So.
Yeah,
I think
that'd be lovely to see you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, two photos?
Yeah, sure. How do you want to do it? In front of the signage? Oh, I forgot I had water. Awesome.
So, great. Okay, 1, 2, 3, cheese. Okay, one more. 1, 2, 3, cheese. Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you, Joshua.
My pleasure. It's always great to talk to you.
It's been an honor because, I, 5 years ago, I never thought that I could do this.
Oh yeah.
I'm just a little blogger, you know, just in comparison of a YouTuber, just songs. Not so much yeah. people really.
Yes, yes.
But the people that's reading me really love it.
Yeah, that's how that's my whole career.
Yeah.
No one's reading me, but the few who are, they dig it.
Okay.
Awesome.
I will see you on the stand to sign.
Oh sure, yeah, yeah. Happy to. Do you want to do that now or back at the?
If you have something.
I don't have.
But
I don't.
I will see you in.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do. Is this ours or is this yours?
It's mine.
Okay, cool.
With
Pat. Oh, don't let me take that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna see you back at the thing. I know I have another interview.
Okay. See. Okay. She. It will be less interesting than me.
No. Yeah, that's right. It will be. It will be. Also, look into Goodnight Paradise, my new book. I'm really proud of it. I want you to check it out. If you
will do.
Chance. Yeah, yeah. It's only in English, but we're working on getting it in French.
Il est cool, hein?
Ouais, il est vraiment cool, d'ailleurs.